You're listening to Mrugashira, a podcast for PR and communication folks.
One of the things that we keep hearing about digital media platforms is about quality of content and monetization ability. Very few digital media platforms are consistently profitable. In this episode, we are in conversation with Deepdatta Das, Head of Content Strategy Digital, CNBC TV 18, and winner of LinkedIn Content 50 India. Deepdatta is a content marketing specialist. We speak to her about emerging trends in digital content consumption and monetization. So, I would want to ask you, or I would want to start asking you, what are some of the emerging trends that you have seen in, you know, digital content consumption in India, particularly in 2020?
Yeah, so it's very interesting, you know. I mean, I think the thing that I like to tell people the most is that in 2020, that a massive crisis came upon us, right? And as is the idiom that goes, is that every crisis is the door, the opening of a massive opportunity. Digitization was the way forward, but it was a slow-moving process. What COVID did was that it snowballed what 5 years of digitization would look like into a month. And then the whole thing started rolling. In terms of consumption, while TV, when the lockdown started happening, while television was still the single most important factor in terms of consumption, right? In terms of consumption of content, because everyone was looking at what's happening and it was so new, people didn't know what to do about it. So news, television news became one of the most important spaces where people were constantly coming during the lockdown, at least the first 2 months or so since March, to figure out what their lives would look like, what is it that is happening around them, is it only India, how is it shaping up and everything. All the time that people spent on media, which is almost 5 hours every day, people were consuming some form of media. 30% of that was being spent on TV, and about 15% of that was being spent on digital platforms, and which is a massive, massive bump over there. So people were always on the phone. People were using, figuring out what is happening, which is what was reflecting on the kinds of stuff that people were reading also in the first couple of months, in the first 2-3 months at least. In fact, first 4 months, where people were searching for shops to go to, order grocery, daily essential needs, medicinal needs. People were reading up a lot on healthcare, people starting to move out. But largely, it is this what has been the trend. And the life has been new changed for good, I would say.
Yeah, so that in fact brings me to, you know, the add-on question, because a lot of it you were also talking in terms of revenue generation, monetization, etc., right? Yes. How did that change? Because, you know, while some sectors advertised, some sectors like automobile, for example, almost came to a standstill, right? I guess essential services, brands and personal care brands probably gained, but there were several other sectors that had to, you know, put everything on hold. So how did this monetization game for TV channels and for digital platforms change?
Absolutely, changed quite a bit, because even when television happened, it's not that large campaigns weren't happening on television, but you see the entire thing shifted on digital. So the digital platform became the most important way of pulling it through. Even, even if it was being shown on TV, it was being run digitally, right? Cameras weren't traveling anywhere. It was there were people connecting through Zoom or WebEx or Microsoft Teams, whichever platform, Google Meets, whichever platforms that were available, approved, allowed across networks, across organizations. Now, the other thing that I saw in terms of, in terms of sectors that started working. So as you rightly pointed out, that auto pretty much stopped advertising, you know, and the fact is that auto was going through a bad phase even before COVID happened. I remember in February, there were reports already that the auto sector had seen 35 to 40% degrowth in their revenues. In fact, in companies including Maruti were facing a tough time even before COVID happened. And what COVID did was it absolutely brought that sector to a standstill. But on the other hand, IT companies, ITIS companies, software providers, SaaS providers, essential services providers, e-commerce services, consumer product companies, they gained massively and they brought their entire inventory on digital because most of it was ROI driven. From where I see it, while a lot of large campaigns were being run, the actual ROIs, the returns were being provided through their digital amplification. And so registrations, access to very, very customized, targeted TGs. And so we got companies asking us to give us a very specific kind of target companies for them. So a webinar where we were asked to kind of get people who had an income on salary of about 5 lakhs per 5 lakhs per month and above for wealth management companies who wanted to target HNIs, companies, ITITS companies who wanted to get across to decision makers. So we got sector specific decision making platforms. So retail, we were asked to gather companies, retail and CPG companies and their decision makers to make them understand about and how ITITS driven services could help run their companies without any, you know, issues and without any stoppages or hurdles coming up. So that ITITES, consumer products, retail, e-commerce, healthcare, massive healthcare saw a boom. So these are the kind of sectors that we saw, you know, kind of truly come out and use or enhance and harness the power of digital that was to offer. And they went all out, I would say, in terms of trying to get to the right kind of people, harnessing language even, you know, I mean, what this has, the COVID has shown us is also the fact that finally people and advertisers were really waking up to the true potential of what language and custom language products can do, custom language marketing can do, because ultimately India is a place of many, many markets, of many, many different kinds of people. And, you know, the saying goes that every 50 meters, your market changes practically. And that is what people did, because digital allows you to do that, right? I mean, it allows you to customize your offering. It allows you to kind of reach a very specific targeting, and it allows you to collect data like no one else, no other platform can. So, and it allows you to not only collect data, it allows you to understand the efficacy of the campaign that you ran in a way that otherwise doesn't happen as well.
Correct, that's true. And, you know, that's sort of interesting because what also happened in 2020, if you see, is that a lot of social media platforms, a lot of digital news platforms, a lot of television have also gone through a kind of a transformation in terms of, you know, the veracity of the news, the kind of reputation that gets built in terms of the way they deliver news, right? I mean, and we've seen a lot of controversy around, you know, whether it is Facebook or whether it is fake news in general per se across the platforms that is coming. And then now, of course, we've been seeing a lot of TV channels also in some kind of a battle or the other about TRPs and things like that. So now what it also brings in its own bag of, you know, reputational challenges and trust challenges, right? And how do you see that, you know, how do you see that panning out?
See, the tabloidization of media happened quite a while ago, right? Okay. And it was an easy game of TRP. And when I say these things, these are my personal, you know, opinion. This in no way reflects what the company I work for, the network I work for states.
Absolutely.
But the fact that is that, you know, the medium or the platform that we are working in today and the way it has panned out isn't very different from what has happened in the Western world.
Okay.
The only difference I see is that, we have a larger population that is yet to be impacted by serious penetration of educational growth, right? there is a massive problem of literacy in our country.
Yes.
And there is also a massive problem of trying to therefore figure out or differentiate between what is fake and what is not.
Yeah.
Often given this entire mad race for TRPs, what has happened is that verification and checking for real versus fake has kind of taken a backseat. However, there are still organizations, and I'd like to say that I'm lucky to be working in one of them, Network 18 and CNBC. They did not kind of let go even in this entire madness, you know. I mean, even when everything was TRP and it was a mad race for TRP, we still stuck to what was the right thing to do, the main agendas. And fact-checking, again, is a very, very important and a very, very essential part of what one puts out.
That's interesting that you point out that, Devdatta, because I remember when TV came in, I mean, TV channels and, you know, and also business TV channels came about, with CNBC being there for some time, for a very long time, actually, and then NDTV Profit, and then the rest of the, you know, flock. At that point in time, this breaking news culture itself got redefined, because a lot of channels went after this breaking news, you know, kind of a culture. And now the way I see it, this whole TRP game is probably a heightened extension of that breaking news culture, right? So how do you see this? I mean, is it that people will come back to consuming news the way it needs to be consumed, or they will probably go even one step backwards to see what is it, not just in terms of, you know, breaking news, but what is that information that I'm getting and how well balanced that information is?
See, when NDTV Profit and Bloomberg TV and CNBC start, I mean, when CNBC TV 18 and NDTV Profit started, there was very little by way of digital that was happening, right? I mean, the digital media as such was pretty much irrelevant at that point of time.
Correct.
And TV broadcast was the way forward.
Yeah.
Now, now what you see is that there is almost a 50-50 take in terms of what TV does and what TV produces, as well as what digital produces, right?
Okay.
So there is a regular customer or a regular individual has access to all kinds of news across the board, across the platform, right?
That's right.
Even if you say that, you know, I mean, there is one channel that is giving you fake news, there's one channel that isn't, is being true to its word, and then there are a thousand other digital platforms that are giving you all sorts of platforms. And then there are, there has been over the last few weeks, last few years, the emergence of fact-checking platforms like Boom and All for News, right? Every time there is an imbalance that is created in any industry, in the society, there is also an effect that comes in, or also a catalyst that happens that creates a sort of balance, right? So these fact-checking platforms become that catalyst to return that particular sector to a certain state of balance. And digital helps a lot in doing that. Because, as I said, the fact-checker platforms, and then there is social media that comes into play, and a lot of other factors that goes on to kind of negate the wrong and bring out the positive. So I believe that that's what we should kind of give space for, and that change is coming.
Thanks, Devdatta, for this conversation. It was a very interesting conversation.
One big development that unfolded today is the decision of the central government to bring digital current affairs, news portals, OTT platforms, and streaming services like Amazon Prime, Netflix, and Hotstar under the Ministry of Information and Broadcasting. The print media is watched by the Press Council of India. The News Broadcasters Association represents television news channels. Films are monitored by the Central Board of Film Certification. And for advertising, there is the Advertising Standards Council of India. There was no autonomous body that governs online content. Last month, the Supreme Court of India, in response to a petition filed,
had issued a notice to the central government and the Internet and Mobile Association of India seeking regulation of OTT platforms. The petition filed had said that streaming platforms have allowed movie makers and artists to release their content on OTT platforms without filters and screening. They can release their content without being worried about getting clearance certifications for their films and series from the censor board. Earlier in September this year, the INV ministry had told the Supreme Court that digital media needs to be regulated because it has a faster reach and potential to become viral due to apps like WhatsApp, Twitter, and Facebook. The debate of freedom of expression on one side and regulation, spreading of fake news and hate speech on the other side moves to the next round now. In the other news, Public Relations Consultants Association of India, or PRCAI, has newly elected executive committee, reports PR Moments. Rudafin's MD and VP for India, Atul Sharma, takes over as the president from Nitin Mantri, Group CEO, Avian V. Co-founder of Value 360 Communications, Kunal Kishore is vice president and Sunaina Malik, MD Archetype, is the secretary of the committee. PRCAI's regional heads are Vineet Handa of Kaizen in North, Rakesh Ranjan of Imagica Ventures in East, Girish Huria of Avian in West, and Prasad Karat of the practice in South. We wish the new executive committee the very best. We hope PRCAI scales new heights in the years to come under this new committee.
Tune in next week for another episode of Mrugashira. Adios.